we're really now saying, I pay you for a post, maybe a little bit less. However, you're going to make 10% of everything you sell through that, and being able to track that and really focus on the creators that are selling. You know, this is, can all be done through AI and much, much faster than ever. So I think brands can't afford to not do influencer marketing.
Hey, and welcome to CMO Convo. Today we have with us Tania Elaine, VP of Marketing at Upfluence. Hi, Tania.
Hi, thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you here with us. And thank you also for being my guest. So before we're kind of like gonna dive in into the topic of influencer and creator marketing, I would love it if you can share a bit about yourself and your background.
Yeah, so I started my marketing journey at L'Oreal, so a very well-known cosmetic company. I'm actually Canadian, so at the time I was based in Canada. Now I am in France, so, you know, moving around the world, but
exciting.
Yeah, it is nice. And when I got my start in, I guess it's not technically marketing, but I started in the educational field where I trained beauty advisors and pharmacists and doctors on the products at the time. And from there, I also got to do some PR events and communication events. And that's kind of where I got started, let's say, in more of the traditional marketing. So I fell in love with that PR communications aspect of things. And so I shifted into a integrated communication role. And that's really where I got my first taste, I guess we can say, in influencer marketing. Now you got to think back quite a few years. It was probably a little over 10 years ago now. So creator marketing, which was back then called influencer marketing as we know it. But it was very, very different. It wasn't what it is today. Communications and marketing was still very traditional in its approach, where we focused on press and print. And we shifted after a few years to a very digital first approach with the rise of course, you know, digital magazines and things like that, but also the rise of creators. And that's kind of where I got started. We're just trying to figure it out as we go, as we went, you know, nobody really knew if this was something that was going to stick, or if it was just a trend or a phase. And fast forward to today, you know, more than 10 years ago, you know, it's now part of everything that we do in marketing is, you know, creator marketing, and the creator economy is part of what we do in marketing. It's now a full-fledged channel. So it's definitely not a trend. And yeah, that's kind of where I got my start. Now today, as you said, I'm with Upfluence, working more into the B2B, of course, sphere. But yeah, still very centered around influencer marketing and the creator economy, which I think personally is a super fascinating topic.
Yeah, so it is, I you know, like, we wanted to have a guest that will talk about influencer marketing for so long now. So it's great also having you bring your insight and your perspective. And I'm actually quite curious. So what does your day look like, your day to day? You know, so what does it actually mean to be working in this field of influencer marketing or managing that?
Yeah, so I both always love and hate this question because I never know what to answer. A day to day is so different from one week to the other in marketing. But today I oversee a team of very, very talented marketers who work on go-to-market strategies. So I personally try to find brands that are either in need of influencer marketing or that could use influencer marketing as a channel in order to grow their business. Because that is what it's becoming today. It's very much centered around a real channel for not only brand awareness and things like that, but also for revenue generating. And so, you know, as our industry is shifting towards that, we're trying to put the word out there that, you know, creator marketing is about revenue generation. And I think, as with every marketer, and I know my fellow VP and CMO can attest, marketing as a whole, not just creator marketing, but marketing as a whole has changed into a very performance marketing driven kind of mindset. And we have to be able to not only leverage performance marketing, but also without losing the brand side of things. And that's kind of where my day-to-day kind of sits between, you know, the performance marketing teams, which are inbound and outbound marketing, and the content and design side of the marketing team, which is a great place to be. But it's about aligning sort of that performance and brand marketing to really drive growth for the company. And I think influencer marketing is at the core of that, because it's kind of in that between where, yeah, you can drive brand awareness, but you can also drive sales. And so, you know, getting the word out there that, you know, marketing can be both and should be both.
Yeah. So if you need kind of like to define where influencer marketing is evolving in 2025, would you say that the perception is now shifting from this more brand awareness perception into being a growth engine or a revenue engine?
Yeah, for sure. So it used to be very vanity centric, we can say that. So it used to be, you know, about metrics that nobody really knew what they meant. Things like impression or, you know, average reach and things like that, which are still used today for more of an awareness idea of where, you know, your campaigns are going. But I think more and more, as is marketing as a whole, we're wanting to look at these more revenue generating metrics, like, of course, sales, but also return on investment, I think is more than ever what people are looking for. And creator marketing is following, of course, that trend of, you know, CEOs and business owners want to know, if I'm putting $1 in, how much am I getting in return? Although they might not always understand what creator marketing or what influencer marketing is, they understand money and they want to know, you know, every dollar that they're putting in, what are they getting out of it? And so, you know, where marketing used to be a very awareness sort of metric, or even a lead generation more so, you know, how many, I remember when I first started marketing, you know, how many MQLs do you have and things like that. Now we're shifting towards more of, okay, but how much revenue did it generate? How much money are we making out of this channel? And if we're not making enough, then we need to shift. And so, you know, influencer marketing and creator marketing has seen that same shift over the years of not just being a awareness-based channel, but really a full-fledged, you know, revenue-generating, driving sales, driving money for the business.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I also noticed this shift, which kind of like leads me to the next question, that basically, you know, we see that it's also becoming a bit more transactional, especially with platforms such as TikTok. And it's really kind of like you feel or have the sense that the line is starting to be blurred between awareness and even commerce to a certain extent. What is your take or kind of like your idea around that?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of a double-edged sword, right? In the sense that, of course, we want to know, you know, where we're spending money and where we're making money. And that makes sense. There is still today, and I think it's, if you're on LinkedIn following a lot of CMOs and a lot of VP of marketing and heads of marketing, it's always a challenge to present projects that are not necessarily revenue-based, that are perhaps more branding, more around content marketing. And so, you know, I think there's always that challenge of not losing your brand message while driving revenue, because of course, you know, budgets are what they are and you can't be everywhere at once. And I think creator marketing is sort of filling those two gaps, because you can drive sales, and you should, if you're an e-commerce brand, drive sales through social commerce for sure. And that awareness and that sort of reach is icing on the cake, if we can say, because you cannot work with creators without driving awareness. They're going to drive the messaging for you. And it's a more authentic and real way to drive your message. It's not the brand always saying, you know, we're the best, we do great products. It's about someone else saying it, which I think marketing is more and more shifting towards that, where how can your partners, your affiliates, your distributors, or your whoever you're working with, pass on that message to your clients, because it feels authentic, it feels real. And so I think creator marketing kind of fits perfectly and kind of fills those two aspects of brand marketing and performance marketing for sure.
Yeah. So you kind of like touched a topic which is also very relevant, LinkedIn. LinkedIn and the rise of influencer marketing, even in B2B. So I would love to hear your take around that. So it used to be called thought leadership, but I think that now it's becoming more and more type of like B2B influencer marketing that we're also experiencing through mainly LinkedIn, but maybe even in other channels as well. So I would love to hear your thoughts around that.
Yeah. So there's a big shift that we're seeing inside of B2B. We used to think in this notion of, I'm talking to a company, I, as a B2B marketer, I'm not talking to people, I'm talking to a company, right? I'm reaching out to this company and I want to close this company. I want them to become a client. But the reality is that companies are just made of people. They're made of humans. And these humans are on social media. They're following creators, whether it's you know, like-minded creators on LinkedIn, like other, like for myself, I follow a lot of CMOs and a lot of VP marketings to understand how they're feeling about, you know, the shift in trends and things like that. And they're also on other social media, right? Of course, they're on TikTok, they're on Meta, they're everywhere. And they're engaging online, whether it's looking at content, looking at reviews, looking at user-generated content. And so that we have to shift our mindset of saying, I'm talking to a company, because at the end of the day, you're not. You're talking to people inside of that company, much like you would if you were a B2C brand, you know, talking to potential customers online. And so although tactics might be a bit different when we talk B2C versus B2B, the idea and the strategy behind creator marketing is very much the same. They may be on different channels. They may be on different types of content, where B2B might be more about, you know, podcasts and LinkedIn and maybe webinar hosting and things like that with creators, with thought leaders, as we call them, or KOLs, mm-hmm. they used to be called, you know, keywords are changing all the time in marketing, you know. The overall idea remains the same, is having someone who has an audience, who has a voice, who has a message, who has built trust and authenticity on whatever channel they might be, having them talk about a topic and talk about your either your company or your brand in order to pass on the message that you want to pass on as a brand. And so there was for a long time this idea that, you know, B2B couldn't do creator marketing. Well, it's not true. You can and you should in a certain sense. I think it's also, you know, sort of done by the fact that we almost every SaaS out there, or a lot of SaaS out there years ago used to be very sales led. So, you know, you had to book a demo and then meet with a salesperson and so on and so forth, which meant that there was no e-commerce or no attribution to marketing. It was all attributed to sales. And now with the rise of, you know, PLG products, which are self-serve and self-checkout, mm-hmm. but also with us becoming more knowledgeable of attribution and being able to follow the customer journey more closely, we are able to tie that back to some of the initiatives that we're doing in marketing. And so, you know, it's becoming more and more important to drive that message across the web. It's getting convoluted out there with, you know, so many platforms to talk on, and where it used to be very much website focused, you know, people used to come to your website, buy and leave and so on. Now people are shopping everywhere. They're getting their information from everywhere. You know, we're seeing the rise of AI search engines like ChatGPT and things like that, but also social search engines. TikTok in and of itself is now becoming a search engine. People are looking for recommendations on there. But YouTube has been for years now the second biggest used search engine after Google. And so people aren't just looking for information by going on the website anymore. They're searching multiple places. We're seeing the rise of Reddit threads as well, more and more. You know, people asking peers, things like that. And so that idea of asking a community and getting authentic feedback from external people from the company is just going to keep growing. And I think, you know, creators and thought leaders are key to that, to pushing that message for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I can definitely share, you know, that this is what I'm seeing as well. I think all of us marketeers are noticing that. You mentioned, you know, like a very interesting keyword, which is being authentic. So now with the rise of AI and bots and fake followers, etc., how can we as marketeers even identify true, you know, like valid data or valid influencers that are not, I want to use the word honest, but it's not honest. It's more, I would say, authentic or like just real to a certain degree. So how can they identify that?
Yeah, so it used to be very, very difficult because we didn't have the tools. As creators became more and more numerous. I mean, now there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of and millions of creators out there. You can have, you know, big influencers, small influencers, nanos, micro, you know, it was difficult to know this creator that I'm seeing when you were on their profile. Okay, I'm seeing this creator. I think they could match my brand. They have X number of followers. Is it engaged? Are they real? You know, it's super difficult. Today, with, you know, the rise of obviously not only AI, but just the growth of social media and influencer platforms, it's becoming more easier than ever, I should say, to know exactly what you're getting when you're working with a creator. So often people ask me, how do I find the right creator? You know, I go either on the platform or on social, I scroll, how do I find the right person? So the first thing I always say is find creators that align with your audience, with your ICP. It's not because that person has 3 million followers that it's relevant for you. You need to look at who's following that person, whether it's country, gender, whatever it might be that you're looking for. You need to know who your ICP is, and that's who you want their audience to look like, not that person. So, you know, I see a lot of brands, and I've probably made that mistake when I started off too, to be honest, where I look at the profile of the creator and I say, oh, this creator is nice. Her look and her feel aligns with my brand. I'm going to go work with that creator. And then when you deep dive into their stats, you know, you find out that, for example, for beauty brands, if I'm launching a lipstick, I might want to work with a creator that looks good, you know, that could wear my lipstick. But then when I deep dive into the audience, I might find out that most of her followers are men, or, you know, people that would not necessarily wear my lipstick. And so, you know, it's about deep diving into the audience data. Now, once you've seen if that matches your ICP, which is the most important, because at the end of the day, we're, you know, all brands are there to sell products or sell something, services or products, you need to look at that creator's performance with their audience. So that's where you're going to see fake bots or, you know, things that look a little off. One thing that we always recommend brands to look at is engagement rates. So that's simple enough, right? If this creator has 200,000 followers and their engagement rate is 0.0001, well, probably either she's posting content that isn't relevant to her audience and they're not liking it, which most of the time they'll end up unsubscribing after a while, or she has or he has a lot of, they're not necessarily fake followers. We try to say unengaged followers. It might be for sure bot, you know, it might be that they bought followers. It might be that there's bots out there that follow creators. It might be some of that, or it might be people who close their account. So that's why we don't want to say that they're all fake followers, because it's not true, but people sometimes open, you know, Instagram or LinkedIn accounts or whatever, and then they close their account, or they open under a different email but don't close that account. And so sometimes you have unengaged audiences that are just non-existent accounts, basically, but that are still open. And so those won't engage. So what you want to look at is really that percentage of engaged followers. How much are people liking? How much people commenting? How much are people sharing? Saving as well. On some platform, you can save content. So that's an indicator of, is her audience real, or her or his audience real or not? One other thing that you want to look at is engagement rate over time. Especially when you're doing long-term partnerships, or if you want to engage in a long-term partnership with a creator, because if you're seeing that over time, their engagement rate is declining, if you're looking to work with them for a year or two, well, you want an engagement rate over time that's increasing. Otherwise, in 6 months, that person's engagement rate might not be worth the investment. And so it's not just about the engagement rate at that time or in the last, you know, couple posts, but really looking at a chart over time, if it's increasing or decreasing, that could be a key indicator of whether or not, you know, you want to work with that person over time.
These are great insights and very valuable. So thank you very much. I wanted to ask, are there any specific tools where you can see that data, or do you need to do this like research more manually?
No, manual is old. No, there's definitely tools, obviously. I mean, not to toot my own horn, but I work for one. Affluence can help you do that. When you onboard a tool like Affluence, you'll have tools like a search engine that you can crawl through. At Affluence, we have about a little over 12 million creators in our database that you can search with either keywords, with platform engagement, whatever metrics that you're really looking to target. You can make it as wide or as niche as you want in order to find that really that perfect match for your brand. And so you can look at things like I mentioned, like reach. Obviously, you can look at number of followers. You can also, you know, filter by engagement rate minimum that you want. So if you say, I don't want to work with anyone that has less than 3% engagement rate, well, you can filter by that. And that will refine the list and help you really find the best people. Doing it manually would be insanely time consuming.
A no-go.
Yeah,
no-go.
You would have to crawl social media and then look at, you know, the last posts and look at their engagement rate. I would highly recommend a tool to do that unless you have, you know, tons of marketers under your belt that can spend a lot of hours doing this. But yeah, there's tools that can help you do it super fast. And that can also help you not only find influencers, but once you onboard them into a campaign, that can help you track the result of that campaign, because that is also very time consuming to do manually, to look at, you know, how did they post? How much did they post? What was the reach on all of them? What was the engagement on all of them? Did they generate sales? Because tools like Affluence can even help you track sales. So if a creator,
amazing.
Yeah, if a creator is selling your product through that post, you can know and actually, you know, track an ROI behind your campaign. So
yeah, so it's really kind of like close the loop as well, right? From the, like, not maybe the first touch point, but at least some of the touch point until you close, like the sale.
And even, you know, paying creators after, I think that's one of the biggest pain points for both brands and creator is creator payments. Because a lot of these creators aren't necessarily big companies, especially if you're working with nano or micro influencers, they're sort of
it
doing
could be
this.
Also, by the way, a niche.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you could be working in a niche, so maybe you don't have, I don't know, like 1,000 of creators. You maybe have, I don't know, like 10 or 20 leading ones, and these are the people that you would like to reach out to.
For sure. And, you know, the smaller they are, the most likely it is for to be difficult to pay these creators, because they don't have big companies that you can just incorporate into your system, much like you would a supplier or a distributor. And so a lot of the times it becomes very difficult to get their, you know, bank information and for the bank to validate and all of this. And so, you know, tools like Affluence can really help you manage from A to Z, whether it's finding creators, outreaching to them, you know, starting a campaign, sending them the product. Even that's another huge, huge pain point for brands when you want to send out, you know, 1,000 products. It's very time consuming to do it manually. And so, you know, there's ways that we can automate that. And so it saves, you know, countless hours. On average, it's about 20 hours a week per campaign, which for a marketer, 20 hours a week is, you know,
it's a
huge.
Lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. So I would like to move to the next topic, which is how should I as a marketer know that now it's the right time for me to build a long-term, you know, creator influencer marketing strategy? When is the right time?
So it all depends on your goal. It all depends on, obviously, also budget. It all depends on multiple things. Now, you know, people often ask me, when do I do a one-off influencer campaign and when do I do a long-term influencer campaign? And my answer is always, always, always long-term. Always long-term if you can. And sometimes brands think, okay, but what if I, you know, just have like a limited time promotion and I just want to push that for a certain amount of time? That's fine. That's probably one of the only reason why you would do sort of a one-off or a short term. But even then, personally, as a marketer, I would still want to onboard these creators on a long-term basis if the results of that second or of that first campaign were good, just because it builds authenticity. I always say, put yourself in the shoes of your customer. If I'm following this influencer and for the very first time she talks about this product, she's never talked about it before, I might not be willing right away to purchase, right? I think they say something like, in order to like get something imprinted in your brain, you need to see it 7 times. And so you know, it's just human psyche. If I see it once, I might not stop. If I see it twice, three times, four times, I might say, oh, okay, well, there's something here, right? And the best way to work with creators, in my opinion, is to find those who already talk about your brands, to find those who already love your brand or even purchase your brands. And there's ways to do this with social listening tools and CMS integrations that really allow you to know who already loves your brand. Because if that person has already talked about your brand organically, has already mentioned your brand, has already used your brand, the likelihood of it feeling right and authentic is, you know, 10 times more. And so you got to think you're building trust here between you as a brand and that influencer or creator's audience. And building trust is not a one-time, one-off, you know, quick and easy. Building trust takes a long time. It's the same in everything that we do, whether it's a commercial relationship, whether it's a love relationship, whether it's a friendship. Building trust takes time. And so we need to put that mindset. Sometimes we forget that, you know, we're very transactional in our, you know, outreach. As a brand, you're building trust with that creator and with their audience, but that creator is also building trust and kind of putting their trust to the test whenever they're working with a brand. So they need to make it feel authentic. And so for me, if you're getting ready to go with influencer marketing, long-term is the best way to go. You know, also when you're working long-term with creators, you have more of an opening for negotiation, for working on a fixed and affiliation sort of partnership rather than, hey, I want you to post once. If you say that, then for them, they're in their head, they're going to say, well, it's not going to be long-term. I'm going to charge everything that I can in order to make my money and move on to a different brand afterwards. And so when you're telling them, okay, I have a program for a year, I want you to be part of that program. Throughout the year, I would want X number of posts, X number of this. Then you have sort of that opening for more negotiation, which, you know, when you're looking at your budget, might be the difference between a good ROI and a lower ROI. So for sure, I would say that.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Maybe, you know, like some of our audience or listeners, they're also kind of like wondering, okay, maybe I should start that and then how to. So thank you very much for sharing. So of course, we cannot ignore the topic of AI. We simply can't. So I would love to ask you, have you seen like or noticed a way where AI is starting to also influence influencer marketing or to shape it in a different way? I mean, where are we heading with that?
Yeah. So other than the obvious trend going on right now, which is synthetic creators, you know, creators that are...
Oh, that is interesting. What is that mean?
Yeah, so they're AI creators. So essentially, it's nobody. In the sense, it's not a real person. It's an AI-generated creator, which posts about things and shares, I can't say product that it uses because it doesn't really use it, but yeah, it kind of shares insights and things like that. So that's a big trend we're seeing. You know, there's a few of those that are on the rise. That being said, we're not really seeing any, we're seeing a few brands kind of attached to that, but not that many, just because most brands wants the creator to test their product and offer an authentic experience. And so you can't really do that with an AI.
Yeah, it sounds a bit like counterproductive in a way, right? Because we talked a lot about building trust, about being authentic, about like creating trust between the creator and the brand, creator and the audience. And then on the other hand, there's an AI who's sharing reviews. How can you share something about an experience? So, I mean, yes, I can see where it's kind of like maybe not fit the right lane. But
yeah, I think where it's been working and it can work is more in like the fashion sphere, because the AI is wearing the clothes. So in a sense, you see what it looks like. Mm. And I think there it can work. Anything that's more like something that you really have to test, like, you know, food or, you know, things like skincare and, you know, pet products and things like that, that I don't think really fits into that sort of trend. We're really not seeing a huge pickup on these influencers. I think they're being followed by a lot of people by more for sheer curiosity than actual like authenticity. And so that's one way sort of AI is coming in. I think the biggest way that AI is really changing the creator economy is AI is now helping brands scale their influencer marketing. So where it used to be, and we kind of touched upon it a little bit earlier, where it used to be very manual and very tedious and time consuming, and you had to track things in, you know, Google Sheets or Excel sheets and things like that. Now everything's done online, is done online for once, but it's also done faster and better because AI is helping automate things that were very manual or helping. Also, one thing that I love about AI and you know, Upfluence as a tool uses a lot of AI in order to help brands scale faster, is that from AI, we can take learnings from thousands and millions of past campaigns and provide best practices and let AI kind of build on these best practices, which I think is super important because brands don't necessarily have the visibility to see all these best practices and these key learnings that other brands, and especially like-minded brands, are learning. And so, you know, we recently launched our creator marketplace, which kind of does almost everything, if we can say that, in terms of campaign management for the brand. And the way it's doing this is it's actually taking key learnings from, you know, Upfluence has been around for 10 years now, and so 10 years of campaigns, and really catering the campaign according to these best practices and what the brand is implementing in, and really driving a full from start to finish campaign. And so instead of even manually searching inside of the search tool for creators, just by putting a couple insights that you want as a brand, it's actually building the whole campaign for you, saying, okay, you want, let's say, you want to launch, if we're staying on the lipstick example, you want to launch a new lipstick. And so you want to work, you know, the brand will say, I want to work with X number of creators on, let's say, TikTok and Instagram, let's say, that will talk about beauty and skincare and makeup and things like that. And so from that, the AI will actually select the best creators, show them to the brand, say, I think these will be the best fit because of what you told me. You can put them into this campaign with a brief that's been pre-written by us to help you go faster. We can send these emails that we've pre-written for you, and you can obviously change anything that you don't like as a brand, but it's kind of doing the basic of the legwork for you and most of the manual things for you. And then you can literally just say, okay, 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 okay. And so where launching a campaign used to take, you know, 20 plus hours, you're now doing it in minutes. And so that allows you to launch either more campaign, to refine the existing ones that you have. You're really focusing your marketing team's time on what matters, which is driving results, which is this campaign working? Yes or no? Can we scale this campaign and cut another one? Because now they have time to analyze all these campaigns. They have time. They have the data to analyze all these campaigns as well, which is key. And they're really able to scale and say, oh, this is working really well. We should do exactly the same for this product, and so on and so forth. And so I think that's where AI is really shaping creator marketing, is in allowing brands to go even further than they used to by removing all that tedious manual work, which is essentially what AI should be doing for us, is really optimizing our
time.
This
is so true. Yeah, yeah. And I see it also, you know, taking large data resources and analyzing them in a very streamlined way. I think that that's already taking a lot of the heavy lifting that marketeers, you know, work day-to-day life looks like. So that is great to hear that actually that is the direction where AI is shaping that, and less of being a creator themselves or an influencer themselves. So I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. And with the rise of like social commerce and social selling, brands will need to start being more and more, you know, on par with that. You know, where we used to sell directly on the website and almost strictly on our website, now influencers are selling for us. They have, some of them have their own storefront. Amazon is a great example of that, where you can go on an influencer's storefront and see all of their favorite product. And so essentially they're becoming your distributor in a certain sense.
Yeah.
And so being able to be aware of that and to leverage them faster, more efficiently, you know, it should take seconds. If you see an influencer mentioning your brand, you should be in seconds able to onboard them to push them into a campaign, to provide, you know, affiliate links in order to track sales. You know, all that should be done seamlessly and quick, because it's going to rise more and more. And so, you know, all these tools enable us to be able to see who's talking about us, onboard them quickly, you know, have them sell our product, have them make a commission to out of it. We're shifting from a strictly like, I pay you for a post, you post, we move on. We're really now saying, I pay you for a post, maybe a little bit less. However, you're going to make 10% of everything you sell through that, and being able to track that and really focus on the creators that are selling. You know, this is can all be done through AI and much, much faster than ever. So I think brands can't afford to not do influencer marketing now.
Yeah. And also, you know, like when you were sharing that, I tried, you know, like to process that in my mind in the way that we're kind of like also bridging the gap between B2C to B2B type of methodologies, right? Because essentially brands are selling products to people, but that's also happening in the B2B sphere. So for example, as a marketeer, if I want to use a specific SaaS tool, for example, right? So I don't know if someone is in my shoes sharing that information and then I can purchase it through them in a way or via an affiliate link. That is also a methodology. And I think that we will see more and more of that. So
for sure. And I think B2B is probably the place where peer recommendation is at its highest.
100%.
Yeah, I think probably 90% of my tech stack, and Lord knows we have a lot of tools in marketing. Probably, yeah, I'd say 85 to 90% of that tech stack was recommended by another marketer, whether it's, you know, on Reddit, because I, you know, I follow some threads there, whether it's on LinkedIn. You know, I think sort of that peer, which are in a sense creators, they're influencers in their own rights. I think in B2B, it's just going to continue to rise and become more and more important, because there's so many tools out there now that do the same thing. How do you differentiate all of them? I think peer feedback and peer review is super important in B2B.
And also trust. I mean, you trust your peers, right?
Yes.
You trust each other. So, I mean, I can definitely envision that rising also for B2B more and more.
For sure.
So, Tanya, we have reached the end of the episode. That was a very interesting conversation. I would love to say thank you, and also probably for our audience. So, yeah, listen to the podcast, subscribe to us, and Tanya, again, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. And I look forward to being on again one day.
Yeah, 100%. We'll be more than happy to have you as a guest again.
Thank you so much.